This is the What Now Podcast.
But sometimes we expect that if we're acting a certain way, that other people will act in accordance with the way we want them to. One of the biggest lessons I think we learn through teenagehood and adulthood is that we can't control every situation. And that when we're living a life that's in accordance with our values, we can still feel good about the situation. For example, declining kindly. There's a lot of, I would say kids, young adults, probably a lot of adults too, who somebody invites them to something and they just ignore the invitation because they don't know what to say. And so empowering our kids to know there's polite ways to decline, that allows them to live in line with the values of being kind.
This is the What Now Podcast, where we discuss sensitive topics surrounding cultural norms in the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in an effort to create more understanding, hope, and healing for our church community. I am Mary Alice Hatch, your host. Join me as I speak with Brooke Romney, where she shares practical modern manners and advice for teens and their parents to help navigate the social, emotional, and practical challenges of being a teenager in today's world. Today I'm here with Brooke Romney. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
Happy to have you on today. I absolutely loved your series. You have a few books, but the book of 52 Modern Manners for Teens to help both parents and teenagers navigate this kind of world we live in now is wonderful. I love that you did something like this.
Thank you so much. It has been such a joy to use it in my own home and see other people using it in theirs and see the difference it's making. So it's been a really fun project.
Seriously. I mean, I feel like with the onset of the digital age, it just seems like our kids today just have different social norms than we had at their age. I mean, now they go on their phone if they're bored or if they're in a social situation, they don't know what to say. They just kind of dig into their phone. And the way they communicate today is just so different from how we were raised.
It is. It's really different. And I think a lot of it, like you said, is because of the phone. They don't have to watch the interactions. And so then when it's time for them to have the interactions, they're not quite sure how to do it and how to do it well. Because of that, they lack confidence. Parents can be frustrated because they wonder why they don't know how to do certain things or interact in certain ways. So these books have really bridged that gap for both parents and kids, so that the kids feel more successful in the world around them. And then the parents have a really great guide of the things that are important to teach deliberately that maybe they thought their kids were picking up, but because of the world that we live in, it's just not quite as usual for kids to watch those interactions. Like we said, because of the phones, then you add on the pandemic. And then now that everything is so digital, even as adults, we don't interact in front of our kids as often as we used to. We don't go to the bank. We don't necessarily always go to the grocery store or the mall. A lot of things are done online. And so our kids just don't have the opportunity to learn from their parents like we did.
It's so true. And I think it's so interesting that your first manner was to introduce yourself, which to me seems so intuitive for most of us. But for so many kids that are communicating through online media, they might not really know how to engage in a meaningful conversation when they first meet someone.
Well, and what's interesting is a lot of people say that seems so intuitive, but I have been with a ton of adults in certain situations where they're happy to just sit on the sidelines if they don't know people. They're not comfortable introducing themselves. And so I think teaching our kids at an early age how to do it and just the very simple steps that it takes, and that it is an uncomfortable thing to do. It can feel awkward in the moment, but it also makes you feel really great after you've made those connections.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I mean, so many of these manners, like you were saying, they seem like intuitive, like pitching in to help. You know, but sometimes kids don't know how to step in or when it's appropriate. And I love that you encourage them to just kind of be proactive and see a need and fill a need.
I know. And it's so interesting because if you've ever been around, you know, kids, teenagers, and even adults, and it's the end of a party, how many people just stand up and walk away? And so it's obvious that some of these manners haven't been taught or internalized, even to people that you thought might understand them.
Mm-hmm. I feel like in our church culture, we're pretty good about that. I feel like when I have events at my house with people who aren't in the church, they're not as proactive about jumping up, like, hey, let's put the tables and chairs away and clean up. But it seems like members of the church kind of are, like, in our culture, we really do foster that in a lot of ways, don't we?
I think it's because we have so many opportunities to be the one in charge. I think it's easy if you've not been the one that had to host or plan or clean up, to think that it might be someone else's job, or even that someone else might be enjoying that. That might be something that they're choosing to do. But I think especially in cultures where there's a lot of volunteering going on, you understand the difference that it makes when everybody lends their own hand instead of waiting for someone else to get the work done.
Mm-hmm. That's so true. I mean, in your book, you talk about manners, but you also share this practical advice for how to handle challenging social situations, like how to respectfully decline an invitation for someone they don't want to do something with, or how to release control if a friend isn't acting the way they want them to be or being the kind of friend they would hope they were going to be. You have some really good advice in there about that.
That was really important to me, to be able to include those things. I think that sometimes we expect that if we're acting a certain way, that other people will act in accordance with the way we want them to. But one of the biggest lessons I think we learn through teenagehood and adulthood is that we can't control every situation. And that when we're living a life that's in accordance with our values, we can still feel good about the situation. For example, declining kindly. There's a lot of, I would say, kids, young adults, probably a lot of adults too, who somebody invites them to something and they just ignore the invitation because they don't know what to say. And so empowering our kids to know there's polite ways to decline, that allows them to live in line with the values of being kind, much better than someone who's going to ignore someone all the time. Allowing them to give up the control in a situation when a friend is not doing what you want them to do, or when a situation's not going your way, or when a teacher just doesn't seem to like you, or whatever the situation is, I think it's so great for them to be able to say, like, this is what I can control in this situation. This is what I can't control. I'm going to work on the things I can control, and then I'm going to let go of the rest. I think that leads to much happier lives and a lot happier adults when they learn that lesson early on.
Oh, that's so true. I mean, I also love your manner that when you're in a public space, and I see adults do this all the time, and it drives me nuts, that they should keep their phones silent and put in headphones. Like, so many times people be listening to YouTube or Reels, like you're waiting in a doctor's office and someone's listening to like Reels and YouTube on their phone. And when you're not the one listening to or seeing it, it is so distracting and irritating. It just shows respect when someone pops in their earbuds.
It's actually funny. That's probably the one manner that teenagers can totally come at the older generation for. I think teenagers are generally a lot better at not, you know, broadcasting what's on their phone to everyone else. But adults do need help with that. You know, I think especially like speaker phones in the middle of a grocery store and, you know, things like that, like learning to put the headphones in or exiting or finding a quieter place where you can have those conversations or watch the show or, you know, Maybe just wait until you get home if it's not really an appropriate place for everybody to listen to what's going on your phone.
Yeah, I think you're right on that. It is more of like an adult thing. I see a lot of adults on speakerphone just in the grocery store, just talking on speakerphone so loud. Like they're not the earbud generation, really.
It's true. And so that's one of those manners that I think teens like to remind their parents and grandparents of pretty often.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I want to also talk about with kids online, and you address this a little bit in your book, why it's so important that kids understand that nothing online is really private.
There is, if I could say there's one manner that could save teenagers from a lot of heartache, I would say this is the most important one. I think that teens, especially younger teens, as soon as they get their cell phone, erroneously think, because they just don't have experience with it, that if Snapchat says it's erasing a message, then it's going to be gone. Or if you're just sending it to your very best friend and you're trash talking about someone else, that best friend is not going to screenshot that and show that to someone later. I think there's a lot more trust in people than there should be when it comes to online interaction. I was just talking to an acquaintance recently where she said that her teenager really likes this boy and he really likes her. And she, you know, was looking at some of the messages and they weren't like super problematic, but she's like, do you think this boy realizes that your mom is reading these messages? And so just being very aware with your kids, like make sure that your child, you know, make sure whoever is texting you is comfortable with their parents reading it or a teacher getting a hold of it, you know, or a future boss knowing what you said. It's important. And I think it could save so much heartache for some of the teens that are just a little less mature when it comes to what's appropriate and what's not online.
It's true. I mean, if they have like a screenshot of something, like they're good at doing that really quick and getting a screenshot and you think it's gone. And then that just circulates. I've seen that destroy kids' lives.
Yeah. And those really can last forever. Truly.
Yeah. I mean, there is a server floating around in cyberspace that has all of this information.
It's true. It's true. And it's important to know that like teenagers can't necessarily trust the best judgment of their peers. That's teenagers aren't always known for, you know, having the best judgment in that moment. So really looking out for yourself when it comes to what you're posting and sharing online.
Yeah. And parents just helping their kids own what they say. Like your words are powerful and what you say is powerful.
Exactly. And sometimes, you know, things are done in the context of a joke or, you know, just kidding or whatever. And that can't be interpreted online. So you really have to be careful.
Mm-hmm. I mean, emojis do help a little bit with that, but still.
Yeah, still. Exactly right.
Yeah. And their brains aren't fully developed. I mean, really, they're not thinking through this because their brains just aren't in that full development stage where they're thinking through and understanding the magnitude of what they write.
I think you're exactly right. That's why that matter is just one that's really important to me to make sure that parents teach their kids.
Yeah. And you were starting to talk about this a little bit and teenagers being sarcastic. You know, they tend to be so sarcastic and sometimes the words they say can be really hurtful.
Yes, there's a manner in there that it says if you have to say like no offense or just kidding before or after what you're saying, evaluate what you're saying, if it's necessary, if it's true, and make sure that that's something that needs to be said. I love reminding teenagers that everyone acts like it's funny when people are like being sarcastic or, you know, being jokingly unkind. But at the end of the day, nobody really likes it. No one really likes to get roasted. No one at the end of the day goes home thinking like, well, that was funny when it was about them. So being very, very careful about how often you use sarcasm and making sure that those that you're using it with are okay with it. And I would say err on the side of no one really enjoys people talking bad about them, even if it's just kidding.
Mm-hmm. It really is a precursor to something really negative, right? If someone's prefacing it with no offense, that means it's going to be offensive.
Pretty much 100% of the time.
I know. And a lot of adults do that too. Like sarcasm can be really caustic. I hate sarcasm. And so I just feel like sometimes you can say funny things that aren't hurtful, but sometimes it's like anything where you're kind of chipping away at someone's character or characteristics about them is so damaging.
Mm-hmm. I absolutely agree.
Yeah. But okay. So when I was reading through the book, I felt like so many of these manners you wrote about were also manners adults need to be reminded of and talk about in our lives. I mean, I just set this up. You have this cute little, it's like a little stand. It folds out so it can stand up on your kitchen counter or wherever you want, on a table or somewhere. So you can, like a flip chart where you can flip it and be able to see it and review it. And I've been doing that with my adult family members, you know, who are married. And I think it's such a great reminder. I like the flip chart idea. How did you come up with that? Why did, instead just a book?
Well, as a mom, I was reading and learning a lot of things that I wanted to take back to my family. But then just in the busyness of life, oftentimes it didn't happen. And I really wanted, one of my own personal values is to give people value. So if I'm going to tell them to read something or buy something, I really want it to be valuable for them. And so I thought, how can I make this valuable for a family? How can I make this a book that doesn't just give people good ideas, but also changes behavior? And the way I decided might work, especially because I have my own family and they can be a tough sell, is to have something that was really, really simple. I knew it had to be simple. Parents are really busy these days. And so I knew it had to be simple and doable. So those two things, I thought, okay, if it's just a short manner and if it can be done in less than 5 minutes with your family, that's both simple and doable. But then I thought it has to have staying power. It can't just be a one and done. And so as I was thinking about that, I really wanted to have these manners be visible so that maybe you talk about it on a Sunday night, but then people walk by it in the kitchen every day or walk by it on a breakfast stand or in their bathroom or whatever it is, wherever you decide to put it up in your family. And I thought it would be really helpful if they had something that was visual as a reminder that they could revisit. I also thought that would be a helpful way to do it if you had a child who wasn't interested in learning from their parents. During those teenage years, there's oftentimes when kids don't want to hear one more thing from mom and dad, but I didn't want those kids to miss out on the learning. And so having it just visible where people can read and take in on their own, I thought was a really effective way to be able to make this book not just important and impactful, but also really doable.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it reminds me of like when I was a kid and I would have the cereal box in front of me and I'd be reading the cereal box as I was eating my cereal. Exactly. And it's kind of that idea, right? You just put it in front of where they're going to be eating and then they just kind of can look through it.
Yeah, it's been a great way for families to be able to really dig in and use the content that they've purchased.
Mm-hmm. No, it's so visible and it's so simple and practical. And instead of just sharing the tip and sharing an example, why is it important to go a step further and engage teens in a more detailed discussion? On the backside of it, you have a way to kind of like engage in a discussion.
Well, on the backside, I've really tried to include the why. I have a few kids who are not interested in doing anything unless they know the why behind it. And I think even as adults, that's important. That's an important factor for us to really have buy-in. And so I wanted kids to see that it wasn't just about like, this makes you look good or this makes your parents look good. I wanted them to understand how that allowed them to live a more successful life. So kind of like a what's in it for me. And so like on the introduce yourself, it says, most people feel like outsiders. Anytime you can be the person who brings people together, you're a gift. Like what teenager doesn't want to be a gift, right? Mm. Like that's a good place to be rather than introduce yourself because it's nice. Introduce yourself because you should. And I wanted parents to be equipped with the why behind each of them so that they could help empower their teens to want to give these manners a try.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is more empowering if they know they can be the gift. And I mean, everyone, unfortunately, we all want to know what's in it for us. In a lot of ways, that's just human nature. And I think if they can understand it and say, wow, I can be a gift, and it's such a positive twist on how they can make their relationships better, they can make their own life better, you know, that's a value add to the world, honestly.
I agree.
Yeah. So what changes have you seen in your own children's behavior by reviewing these important manners? Have they bought into it? How do they do with it?
Yeah. I mean, they have been really receptive. I mean, it's not like it's a kumbaya moment every time we share them. And there's plenty of manners where they say, we already know that one. We already get it. And it's great. I'm happy that these aren't all brand new to them, right? That we're just emphasizing some of them. One that's been really fun is I just came out with one for kids, and I have a 12-year-old, and I wasn't sure if he would be too old for it because the one for kids is a little bit different. On the back, it has role play scenarios because I wanted it to be more age appropriate. And so on the back, it says, you know, like, this is the scenario. What would you do if that happened? And it's been really fun to see the things that he understands and the things that he doesn't. And I have to say, he's grown up in a home full of teens, so he's probably better at the teen manners than he is at the kid ones. And we were going over one about not asking for food when you go to someone's house and not just going into their pantry and taking it. And, you know, and he's like, oh, shoot, I do that all the time. And so it's been kind of like fun and funny to realize that even as the family that, you know, kind of holds these very sacred, there's a lot for us to work on. And I find, kind of like you said in your home, every time I flip to a new manner, it's a good reminder for me as an adult. Even though I wrote the book, there's plenty of manners that I am not as good at. And so when I flip to the next page of one that I'm not as good at, I've noticed that I recommit to having better manners, to being more aware. And that's been great for me too.
Mm-hmm. No, it's true. I flipped on the one about releasing control, because that is one of my things. And my family is laughing because they're like, oh my gosh, this is so you. I'm like, I know, I need this up to for my own self. But yeah. Then I would release control if you guys would just do what I said. So maybe you could.
So true. I know. They're really good. Especially, you know, the ones for teens, and the second book for teens is really excellent. It goes just a little deeper. It moves from just some really, you know, more of the basic manners, and it moves to how to live a good life, you know, how to have a better perspective, you know, things like celebrate others, be a good conversationalist, don't make fun of questions, take feedback. Those are all things that can have really positive impacts in the way we see the world, the way we see others, and the way we see ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Seriously, it's like therapy.
Exactly. And a lot cheaper.
A lot cheaper, practical. You can go back and review it 50 times. It doesn't cost you anymore.
There you go.
So what outcome do you hope for families reading this book? I mean, you definitely have an intention here.
Yes, my greatest hope is that teenagers feel empowered and successful because they understand these small social norms, ways to increase their emotional and social IQ, different ways to connect. When I hear about teens who find success through this book, I am absolutely thrilled, even if it's through one manner. My second hope is that it empowers parents. So I know there's a lot of parents who don't know what to teach and don't know how to teach it. They feel like, you know, their kids leave their home and they don't know if they shared all they should have shared or taught all they could have taught. And that's really important to me, to give just a small blueprint of something simple so they can increase their own confidence as a parent. I had one woman who said, I didn't grow up in a home that taught any of these things. And I felt like I floundered a lot in life. And when I had my own kids, I wanted them to have, like, to understand these kind of nuances that I never understood, but I didn't know how to do it. She said, then I found your book and we are learning together. And it's so thrilling that I get to teach my children things that I feel like I missed out on. And that's incredible to me, that a mom not only feels so much better about her parenting and how equipped she is to raise kids that she wants to raise, but then that she's also doing it with them. And I think that's my third hope, is that this book can connect families, give opportunities for conversation, deeper conversation, opportunities to talk about family values, things that are important to each other, and then hopefully these open doors for parents and kids to connect. There was one teenager, there's a manner in one of the books that says find new friends. And after they discussed that manner, this boy went to his mom in tears later on that night and said, I've got to find new friends. My friends are horrible to me. And hearing stories like that, that this manner opened up a conversation that it allowed a boy to change and have a much more positive experience because of it. You know, that's really why I wrote these books, is for those individual experiences.
Mm-hmm. And it's empowering when you can create change in your life and you're not trapped, you're not stuck. And I like your perspective about the woman who said, well, I didn't really grow up with this. I wasn't really taught this. I mean, not all adult parents are taught these things.
Exactly. Exactly. And you know, even some that were taught may be in a difficult situation right now, or maybe working two jobs, or, you know, and they're just exhausted. And the idea of having something that can be really intentional in about 5 minutes is one of the goals that I had, so that this can help families who have all evening to hang out together and families who have 5 minutes in the car to share a manner. Mm-hmm. Helping parents feel like they're doing the job that they want to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's a really helpful resource for parents. I wish I'd had it when I was raising my kids.
I do too, actually. My oldest was pretty much gone by the time it came out. And it's something. And now that I've got the Modern Manners for Kids who are 4 to 12, this I would have loved to be able to sit down with my younger kids and make sure they had these down before we moved into the Teen Manners.
Mm-hmm. Well, where can people find this book? I mean, Christmas is coming, everybody.
Yes, it's such a good Christmas gift. It's, you know, it's about $20. You can find all three. So there's Modern Manners 1, 2, and Modern Manners for Kids. Those are all on Amazon. If you're in Utah, Idaho, or Arizona, you can find Modern Manners for Kids in Costco's.
Oh, terrific.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much for creating such a valuable resource. I personally loved reading it. I've got it up on display in my kitchen for me and my husband and our adult kids that come by. So, but it's an important reminder of manners. Manners are important. And I think in this generation, we're losing some of that. And I think it's a really important reminder that manners are important.
Well, I really appreciate it, Mary Alice. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you. Thank you for listening to the What Now podcast. If you would like to purchase Brooke Romney's book, 52 Modern Manners for Today's Teens, you can find it on Amazon. Please share this episode with family, friends, and anyone you think it might help. If you enjoyed the podcast, please take a minute to leave a positive rating and written review, which really helps the podcast to grow. If you're on Instagram, follow us at Podcast What Now for inspirational messages and highlights from our past and present episodes. We never say goodbye, we say what now. This has been a What Now podcast production.